Welcome to the Freedom Formula for Physicians podcast, where it's all about slashing your debt, slashing your taxes, and creating a liberated lifestyle. And now, your host, who met his wife while training for the 400 meters in Seattle and is eating gluten-free whilst lusting after bread, Dave Denniston.
This is Dave Denniston, and welcome to the latest Freedom Formula for Physicians podcast. Well, imagine you have just finished residency and you're finally starting your medical career. Well, you may be relieved to finally have all those years of schooling and training behind you. But then reality sets in and you wonder, how are you going to deal with the medical debt that you've just accrued? Well, according to the American Medical School Association, 86% of medical school graduates carry educational debt, and that median debt burden is $155,000 for public school graduates and nearly $185,000 for private school graduates. Well, with all of this debt, how can a young physician balance the financial stresses of overwhelming medical school debt with buying their first home, with saving for retirement, with buying a new car, and at the same time, enjoying life? Well, let's approach this with a specific plan of action with some principles that can help any young physician. And I've broken down the prioritization based upon two different case studies. One is for a primary care doc and the other for a specialty physician in case studies one and two that we'll talk about here shortly. Now, we all know specialist physicians, on average, they have more income than a primary care physician. And so due to this extra wiggle room, there are some significant differences between the two case studies. So for example, we bump up retirement savings. We bump up a down payment for the purchase of a first home. And to develop a plan for you, we will need to take some time to ponder, to reflect upon your situation. And the best time to do that is now, early in your career. Here are some things you consider as you do that. And we'll get to those in just a second. Well, first, let me walk you through these case studies. So in primary care physician one, I'm lowballing it here. I'm going to assume they have income of $150,000, which might be a shade versus the average about $180,000, but we'll just go with $150,000. Now, if we go through taxes, we look at what you pay in payroll taxes, we look at what you pay in federal taxes, we assume that there's some state income taxes. That should be around $26,000 a year. We're looking at rent. We're assuming you're not going to buy a home the second you get into practice. So let's assume rent of $1,500 a month, that you're in a relatively small place. Of course, if you're in New York, you're in LA, you're in San Francisco, that number might be higher, but we're going to work with $1,500 a month or $18,000 a year. Living expenses, we're going to go with $5,000 a month or $60,000 a year. Student debt, we're going to assume that you're paying $1,000 a month or about $11,600 a year. And then a rainy day fund, your cash cushion, $12,000 a year or $1,000 a month. We're also assuming you're going to save for your first home, putting $15,000 there a year. Then we also assume you're going to save for your retirement in your 401k, about $7,000 there a year. So altogether, we net out to zero. Now, a specialist, of course, there are some orthopedic surgeons that are making $400,000, and we have cardiologists making $400,000, but here we're just going to work with a lower number. Maybe you're an ophthalmologist, or you are another practicing doc. You're making around $220,000, $230,000 a year. Here, taxes are significantly higher because you're in a much higher tax bracket, total of about $53,000. Rent, about $1,500 a month, $18,000, same number. Living expenses, we bumped up to $80,000. Student debt, we have the same number, about $12,000. Rainy day fund, about $21,000. So we bumped that number up. Saving for your first home, $23,000. Retirement, $13,000. So altogether, that nets out as well. Well, in my opinion, as we look at what things that you need to do as a young physician, one of the most important things that you need to do is to lower and eliminate your consumer and educational debts, as well as to establish your rainy day fund. So notice, as I was talking about in just a moment ago, a certain amount to set aside. And now that you've landed your first contract, you've now made sure that you're in practice, make sure to set aside for the first few months for that stuff happens, rainy day fund, your car breaking down, the furnace going out. And for any physician, I suggest at a minimum saving $6,000 within the first few months. And if you make over $200,000, you better double that. You want to continue to save that money annually, $500 a month or $1,000 a month, to keep building up for the rainy day fund. And in terms of locations, look to keep these in money market or checking until you have more than $15,000. Then maybe you could consider having a low-risk investment account where you can pull out all of your money without a penalty if you had to, but first get $15,000 there. Now let's assume you've already had your cash cushion. Now focus on reducing your debt. Now first, make sure you consolidate, you lock in the interest rates for your student and consumer debts. We are at all-time interest rate lows. They're not likely to get any lower. As a matter of fact, interest rates are likely to rise by the end of 2015. And so consider, in addition to refinancing, if you're not going for a debt forgiveness program, look to sign up for automatic payments. This often knocks out 0.25% or more on your debts. Secondly, while in residency or fellowship, consider either deferring your loan or forbearing through an income-sensitive repayment plan, like pay-as-you-earn or income-based repayment, IBR or PER. Next, make sure to check out some debt forgiveness programs that are available through the federal government or the state sources. So check out the AAMC.org or the HRSA.gov website. Now also, if you are not doing a debt forgiveness program, you're not going through PSLF or some of the other sources I've talked about, find out what it would take to pay back your student loans directly through DRB or SoFi or one of these other companies. Because consider that a 6.8% loan versus a 3% loan, if you pay this loan over 10, 15, 20 years, we're talking about six figures in interest, so you want to get rid of that as soon as possible. Think about that, you guys, $140,000 in interest. That is 10 European vacations. That's a whole RV that you could have in retirement. So you want to get that done if you're not going for debt forgiveness. And at a minimum, I would suggest putting $500 a month to $1,000 a month extra towards your debts. Now note here, student loans are not likely to be tax deductible, since practically every physician is going to be making over $140,000. So pay them down before you pay down a mortgage. However, there's other consumer debts like credit cards and car loans that have higher interest rates. Pay those consumer debts off first. Which, well, I'd throw student loans in that category, but if you have higher interest rates, let's say a spread of 3% or more, focus on the higher interest rates debt. If they're within that band of 3%, then go for the lowest principal balance. Now, one of the biggest things that I see physicians struggle is in having a reasonable lifestyle. And this means different things to different people. For me, I consider it to mean that you aren't just squeaking by. Perhaps you're able to eat out frequently, or you go on vacation, or you do things you enjoy while being committed to keeping expenses within limits. And to do that, use a free budgeting tool, Mint.com. Use Credit Karma. Use eMoney Advisor to do this. All right, so you're living within your means. The next thing you want to do is contribute to your retirement plan. Contribute to your 401k or 403b. It not only counts towards retirement, but it lowers your income taxes. And next, make sure to contribute at least up to the maximum match that your employer provides. If your employer matches dollar for dollar, this is like an automatic 100% return. Or if your employer matches 50 cents on the dollar, or even 25 cents on the dollar, this is still like a 50% return or a 25% return just for contributing up to that match. But if you are a specialist, you're an orthopedic surgeon, you're an ophthalmologist, make sure that you're getting close to maxing out your contribution, because it's going to help you lower your state and federal income taxes. Now, if you're under 50 years old, we're talking about $18,000. So get that done. Because if you're making that much money, you're talking about 40% between federal and state income taxes that you're losing to the government today. Save that money. Get your money back. Now, one of the other mistakes that I see a lot of young physicians make is when it comes to the big ticket items. After years of living in small houses and apartments and driving older vehicles, many young physicians feel like they're more than ready to purchase a new home, a new car, when they finally get their first real job in practice. Well, instead of rushing out to buy these big ticket items, take a moment. Think about how these purchases might affect your ability to achieve your long-term financial goals. And bear in mind that your lifestyle can change as you pay off your debts. Well, here's a few things I want you to consider when you're making a big purchase. When you're buying a home, try and save towards 20% down. Because if you only put 5 or 10% down, you may have to get PMI, private mortgage insurance. Or you have to buy up your interest rate, both of which could raise your monthly payments by hundreds of dollars. Now remember, cars, these wonderful things that drive us back and forth, they are depreciating assets. We know the second you drive a new car off the lot, you lose $5,000 to $10,000 off the value. Why put such a significant chunk of your hard-earned dough in something that you know you're going to lose money on? So instead of buying a new car, consider buying a used one and hold on to it for as long as you can. Financially speaking, you know, buying a low-mileage used car, let's say with 20,000 to 50,000 miles on the odometer, and you hold it for 5 years or more, 7 years, 10 years, makes far more sense than leasing or buying new. And I strongly suggest pay cash for a car. If you already have a high-interest car loan, pay it off as soon as possible. And if you do decide to get a new car, remember, buying can be a much better deal than leasing, especially if you hold on to the car for 5 years or more. Just think about this, you guys. If you lease a $20,000 car over 3 years at 6% interest and you pay $1,000 down, the total cost over 3 years will be $13,000 and change. And then at the end of the lease, you'll have paid $4,200 towards the principal of the loan. And you can either purchase the car or return it towards the dealer. Now consider that if you purchase that same vehicle with the same down payment and you finance it, you're going to pay $7,500 a year. That's $22,000 plus the down payment. At the end of the loan period, hey, you're going to own the car, but you'll have paid a lot of money for it. So in the short term, buying a car, especially on interest, doesn't look like a good decision. But if you look at the cost of leasing over 10 years, you're renewing your lease every three, you're getting the latest model car. Now, the costs for leasing are at least $42,000 plus down payments. Whereas if you just bought the car and you held on to it, The cost could have been $22,000, plus maintenance. Buying rather than leasing would have saved you nearly $20,000. And if you use it with cash, then you don't have any of the interest, which is huge. Now, physicians, they have big hearts. They have big dreams. They want to pay for their kids' education. They want to buy a cabin or a second home. They want to buy a boat. They want to buy an RV and share it with people. They want to give lots of money to worthwhile charities. My advice, hold off on big ticket items until you are debt free. Remember that once your debts are paid off, you're going to have the cash to do some of these other fun things and enjoy life. Well, here's a few thoughts for you. As a physician, as a pillar of our community, you've made a commitment to help others and our community. And you've made a huge commitment to your schooling. Now make a similar commitment to your finances. If as a young physician you focus on paying off debts, you save for a rainy day, you live within your means, and you put money away from retirement, you can do the things you've been dreaming of doing and be well on the road to financial independence. For the Freedom Formula for Physicians podcast, this is Dave Denniston. Make sure to check out my latest book, The Freedom Formula for Physicians, at drfreedombook.com. You can also check out more podcasts at drfreedompodcast.com. For the Freedom Formula for Physicians podcast, this is Dave Denniston. Thank you so much for listening, and have a good one.